Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, it is a blessed privilege to visit with you on the program today. I think of this bit of advice to share with you, that the Christian is in the world, but we're not of the world. That we're in the midst of people who do not know the Lord, who do not care for the things of the Lord. They don't care for the Word of God. And if we were to try to separate ourselves from all people who do not know the Lord, then we must needs go out of the world. So what then is to be the right response? Well, we have to recognize this truth, that as we are in the world, we do not let the world get in us. We are to be constantly putting off the old and putting on the new. The old is that which is the way we naturally are, our natural responses. The new is that which we learn from the Lord, which the Holy Spirit of God teaches us, which we learn from the Word of God as we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It's like a boat that's in the water. The boat does well as long as it stays on top of the water and the water stays on the outside. But the problems, great problems, will come when water starts getting into the boat. It doesn't take a very large hole to sink a large boat. A very small leak can cause a boat to sink. Enough water get into it. And that's the way it is with the life of the Christian. We start letting a little bit of the world come in here and a little bit of the world come in another time, and pretty soon we'll be swamped and the boat will go down. The life will be absorbed by the world. Now, we want to make it known to the world that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, or I think we want to make the world know that we belong to the Lord God of heaven, because we are to let our light so shine that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We're to make it known to the world that we belong to the Lord. Now, when we do this, we do not try to be secret disciples. You cannot be a secret disciple. Light cannot be secret light if it's to shine in the dark. And this world is a world that's contrary to the ways and the will of God. And we are to make known God's word and way. And so we declare His way. And how then are we to have an impact in this world? Well, the number one way, of course, as I mentioned, is that we're light. The Holy Spirit of God is the one in us, in the fact that we've been born again, made into a brand new creation, accepted into the family of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, directed by the Word of God. We have our church that we attend for encouragement and for the fellowship of the believer, for a public place of worship, for a time that we exult in the Lord, the time we rejoice in the Lord, we praise God. Those are things that we do at the church. Those are things that the ways that we let the world know that we're different. And then after this comes the matter of when we want to make the world know that we're different, is that whatever we are called to do, we're to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now, if you gripe and complain and grumble just as much as the world does on your job amongst secular people, or a secular job, and you gripe and complain among them just as much as the unsaved gripes, then what difference is there between you and them? Or if you have the same mindset and the philosophy and saying that's good enough for government work, well, we don't work for the government. We work for the Lord. Should it be good enough, can we say that's good enough for the Lord? I'm doing this for the Lord. We want to please Him. And so the Christian can gain much influence over the world by being the best that the Lord would have us to be. We are to do everything as unto Him. And there have been many Christians who have gained a place among the world because of their achievements in this world as doing these things unto the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, help us today to be mindful of this truth, that we should not let the world come in, but that we should be above reproach in our life, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 16 now, the Lord said this, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Now notice, he is saying that he has told them something that grieves them, that gives to them, has given to them a heavy heart. You know, there are people who will say, don't tell me this negative stuff. Don't tell me anything that's going to make me discouraged. Well, the Lord Jesus said, I have told you this because I've said these things unto you. Sorrow hath filled your heart. Did he know this was going to fill their hearts with sorrow? Yes, of course, because he knows all things. And so he still tells them. He doesn't shield them from hearing things that are going to upset them. He tells them the truth. Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Now he knew what was going to be the end product of this truth that he was telling them. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. So he is saying, you hear this, and you know that I am one who loves you still, who has loved you with a perfect love, loved you while you were yet sinners. I'm the one that left heaven, came seeking you. I brought this message of God's revelation to you. I am the Son of God, and I brought this to you. And nevertheless, when I tell you this, I've told you this, and sorrow hath filled your heart. But it's the truth. Now he goes on to say, now it is expedient. It's highly essential. It's necessary, of the greatest magnitude for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so you see here that the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, who is the one who moved upon the waters and separated the waters from the waters, who brought things into existence, is submitting himself, subjecting himself to the Spirit. He says, I will send him unto you. The Son subjected himself, submitted himself unto the Father. The Father loved the Son. God so loved the world that he gave. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of sinners. And the Son sent the Spirit into the world to comfort the Christians and to convict the Christian, as we'll see later on in this passage here in John chapter 16. So he says, I will send the Comforter unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he has a work. He is going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit of God comes, and he is a contrast to the world. He is in opposition to the sin of the world, to the spirit of the world. He is completely different from what the world is like, and yet he is in the world. And when he has come, the Lord says, he will reprove the world of sin. He does not come to try to get them to reason away their sin or to rename their sin, but he reproves the world of sin. He stands in the path and points. You're going in the wrong direction. You're a sinner. You need to come to God's way. You come over to God's way. You need to be born again. You're not right. Is that negative or what? That's what the Lord does. The Spirit of God makes the sinner uncomfortable. It is not in the plan of God for the Christian to try to make the sinner comfortable or to be so sweet and lovey-dovey upon them, with them, that they say, oh, yes, I think I want to become a Christian. No, you know, you can walk along beside a person that's going in the wrong direction, and you're wanting to turn them around, and you think that, well, I'll just gradually turn them. But at some point, they're going to have to repent. To repent means they must turn around. They're going in the wrong direction. And this is offensive to human nature, to repent, to humble oneself before the mighty hand of God, to confess, to admit that you are wrong and God is right. Now, the Holy Spirit of God will reprove the world of sin. He is never, ever going to say or condone sin that's in the world. He is light. He is absolute light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Never ever will he ever embrace darkness and sin. He is always against the darkness. He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness and show the world what is right. He shows us what is right. It is not, a committee or a church that determines what's right. The Lord declares what is right. And then he tells us of the judgment. Now, notice what he says in the following verses of sin because they believe not on me. What is the sin of the world? Not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sin of the world. Failing to believe on him. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. And he has been accepted of the Father. He fulfilled the righteousness of God. And the world cannot get to God without the Son. So many will feel like, well, you know, I just have this very positive attitude. No, that's not righteousness. Or I feel so good and I don't ever talk bad about anybody. And is that righteousness? No, that's not the kind of righteousness that God is pleased with. There are some who will say, but I've done so many things, so many good things, or such and such a person has done so many good things. Have you come to grips with this truth that the way you feel is not going to change the way God is? You can say, well, oh, I feel like it ought to be this way, but that's not going to change the way God is. The eternal God, if he were changing because of the way people felt, what would he be like? He would not be the immovable God. He would not be the just God, because what one generation embraces and preaches and declares, the next generation comes along and condemns. But God's word remains the same, and God condemns sin always. And you find many who feel like, well, you know, these are modern times. Well, these are modern sins. Or no, they're not modern sins. They're old sins garbed in a new name. But they still offend God. And God has but one remedy. Repent of your sins. Go back to the old path. Go to this one who has told you that you're a sinner. Accept him. He is the only one who is righteous. He's the only one whom God the Father is well pleased with. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he says of righteousness because you see me no more. Now, had he not been righteous, he could not have dwelt in the presence of the Father and with the Father. But he fulfilled all of the demands of a holy God of heaven. And so he is there with the Father and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Satan is already a judged creature. Judgment has already been meted out and made it out to Satan. He is now out on, I don't know, I don't want to call it parole, because a person on parole is expecting eventually to have their sentence to put behind them. And they once are ready to start a life all over again. So Satan is not on parole. He between now and judgment, I don't know what we can call it. There is no parallel. He's already judged. The day is coming when he is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And those who follow him will suffer the same thing. If they follow him through this life and go out of this life with him, they'll suffer the same fate that he will. Now, Father, we ask thee to save some soul today, someone who needs to repent, to turn around, to believe on the Lord Jesus, to receive the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. We pray thee to work today. It is in Jesus' name and for his sake we ask these things. Amen.